whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
8:35, we'll get into NFL playoff picks. 8:18, Brian Baldinger to help spotlight some of the big matchups in the NFL playoffs. College football playoffs are winding down. Last night.
Or ramping up.
Depending on how you look at it. Only two more games left in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And last night delivered. I know all these playoff games haven't been good watches, John. Last night was dramatic. It was theater. It was compelling. It was two Midwest brands throwing haymakers at each other. And at the end of the day, it was James Franklin losing another big game.
Love to see it. Love to see the final vision that we all had of James Franklin with hands on knees, head down, just looking absolutely defeated. It's one of the great memories I will have of the 2024 football season.
I know you're kind of down on college football.
It's not, I don't like the way things are going. There needs to be somebody step up with some leadership. I don't know where it comes from or how they eventually get it done. And there's a lot of people with ideas, and implementation has been a big issue. But the path that college sports in general, but college football, which so many people love, is just going down a path where there's just no rules. It's anything goes. And the one thing, and I know exactly what your response is going to be. And every time I say this, every time I say this, people are like, oh, well, they're adults. They make their own decisions. Blah, 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 blah. It's, we have lost sight of the ultimate goal of a student athlete, graduation. Like that's all part of the equation. If there is no path to graduation and you're looking at individuals who start out 1 year at a university, transfer the next year, and then all of a sudden, hey, a new player comes in because of the transfer portal, they transfer in year three. We have seen guys play at four or more different colleges. I have no idea how they find a path to graduation.
So one of the extremes, like I'm sure you saw, Jaden Rashada is back in the
back
portal.
In the portal. Yeah.
So he was committed to Miami at one point, Florida at one point. He went to Arizona State, and now Georgia, and now the portal
was
again.
Was Tennessee in the mix?
They may have been.
I don't know.
And he'll be at his fourth school. He's been committed to more than four schools, and there's been money that may or may not have been changed hands, and he's suing Florida. He's one of the, I guess you would say, cautionary tales, John, because he's not playing. He's not getting even the education. He's just kind of drifting through the college experience. And I am sympathetic to that. I am. But ultimately, you make your own choices. Like, John, I'll give you an example. Some people get in credit card debt, like really problematic credit card debt. That doesn't mean the rest of us aren't allowed to use credit. Like, everybody's allowed to transfer. Not everyone's going to make good decisions. And sometimes there's a lesson in making bad decisions. And he may have to learn that lesson three or four times. He may have to learn it the hard way. That doesn't mean other players shouldn't transfer or have the freedom to transfer or to better their situation.
No, but there should be...
I agree.
We live in a society of rules, laws, all of these things that protect us from the evils that we as humans tend to go to.
And John, I'm not telling you it's perfect. They do need some guardrails. They do. But the sport, to me, is going in the right direction. This playoff, blowouts and all, has been what the sport needed. Like, Notre Dame played Georgia on the field. It wasn't hypothetical that Georgia was better. They played and Notre Dame won, right? Penn State, Notre Dame gave us a thriller last night. And Texas, Arizona State gave us a thriller. They're not all going to be thrillers. Hell, there may be some blowouts in the NFL this weekend. I hope people don't cancel the playoff. I think the sport's moving in the right direction when instead of it always being Alabama-Clemson, we are getting Notre Dame, Penn State. We're getting Arizona State, Indiana. Like, this is positive overall. And when I hear you and Tom and others, help Valeni on the podcast, oh, you're going to defend this product. You like where this is going? I do like where this is going.
I like
by
parity.
And large.
I like parity. And I think that's what the transfer portal and NIL has done. But let's not lose sight of all the other things that are a part of this age group. And they are playing for universities. They are playing for colleges. They are given the opportunity to get a great education, and that's part of the equation. It's not the entirety of it, but and here's the thing: on game days, college football still wins, right? It's the other 6 days of the week, if we're on a 7-day work week, that it just is nauseating to think about where this player is going, the decisions that these individuals are making, the money that is being passed around for individuals that haven't done anything. And you're watching guys that are affected by those decisions and situations. Then, hey, well, if this player is going to make this amount of money, well, I can go to this school and make this amount of money. I'm fine with free agency in the NFL, but there's also rules involved.
There's contracts. There's commitments.
And there's commitment. And this isn't all just the athlete. This is the schools. It's the institution. There are commitments that are made by franchises. Right now, do you think Cleveland would like to get out of the contract with Deshaun Watson? Sure, but they made a commitment. They have to live with the consequences of it. Universities, colleges should do the same.
Can I share something you brought up off air? It's these offensive linemen getting paid, I think, that bothers you too. You've talked about that.
Well, I mean, there are offensive linemen that are going to schools that are, you know, haven't done anything. I've seen so many players, and it's really regardless of the position, that are getting money, large sums of money, and they'll never play a down.
I think what's tough about that position, and you will be able to speak to this way more than me, offensive linemen that get to college as 18-year-olds, there's a lot of work that still needs to be put in with their body, the strength program, development. I think a tackle who gets to school at 18 years old is very different than the player who stands in front of you 3 and 4 years later. So that position may be
more
than
any. There's no Orlando Paces in college football right now.
Right. So if you're going to invest $500,000 into a tackle or more, and their body hasn't developed and they haven't played, and that could be a lot of empty.
It's the ultimate gamble.
Yeah, that maybe is the biggest empty pit that teams will throw money at. But the opposite is, you're not winning in major college football without the trenches. You're not winning without.
Right.
I mean, Notre Dame is down to backup offensive linemen, but they needed the trenches to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And Penn State was winning early because of the trenches in their offensive line.
Yeah, and you look at Michigan's success.
Yep.
I mean, it all started with a great offensive line. That offensive line falls apart, and you get 4 and 5 lost seasons. I trust me, you don't have to impose on me the importance of a good offensive line. So it's regardless of the position, it's all of the politics, it's the lack of leadership from, let's just in a regular college season, from Sunday to Friday. But right now they're still winning game day. At some point, that's going to get eroded away because of the lack of leadership.
Whenever we bring up a topic like this, we both get ripped.
Sure.
John is so wet behind the ears. The kids don't care about graduating. It's about money and the NFL. That's what matters.
They don't care about graduating right now. But at some point, having that degree will matter. And yes, don't give me the stories of, this person never had a college degree and they're a billionaire. Yeah, there's a lot of stories too about, well, this person has all the tools to be an NFL player. Well, they didn't make it.
Texter says they can go to school later in life with all the money they made transferring with NIL.
Yeah, as long as they still have that money at that time.
Well, that's a personal issue at that point, not a system issue. Listen, people are going at me. Cookies is on a roll with stupid takes this morning, and we got another caller who wants to disagree with me. Andrew in Madison Heights. Andrew, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Cookies. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Yeah, I totally disagree with you, Cookies, because I think where a lot of people go, and my problem with this is that college sports aren't supposed to be professional sports. The purpose of it, when you say it's the sport is going in the right direction, I disagree, because the sport was great for me beforehand because I enjoyed watching young guys progress and learn how to play the game, and I didn't expect to see professional product until they got to the professional leagues. So this, to me, when you say that it's from the perspective of a consumer who wants to see professional sports 5 days a week, I disagree with that, and I just think that when we get back to where kids are staying there and we're watching them learn the game, especially our teams, right? Our Big Ten teams or our ACC teams. You know what I mean?
Andrew, I understand we've lost some continuity. We've lost the recognizing the players going from their sophomore to their junior to their senior year and being a contiguous group. We've lost the continuity. I understand that point. But when you say you don't like it because it's becoming professional, I would argue it's always...
I don't like it. I don't say I don't like it. It's okay. Entertaining, yes.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is when we press the issue for college sports to allow these kinds of things, it's because we want it to be like pro sports. And we're forcing a consumer perspective on something that should be designed for these youth to learn the game, but also get an education. I mean, I don't know why we don't just turn professional sports into a degree so that at least when they're transferring, they're staying on some kind of curriculum that's universal across the United States. What about these kids that go in as an engineer or something? If they want to transfer four times, guess what? They got to retake 1,000 different classes. Like football
isn't that up to them to decide? Like, it may be worth it, Andrew. Sorry to cut you off. They may be worth it if they say, I'm getting $500,000. I'm not going to make that in 5 years in the workforce. I can make it in one season in college, and I'll make it up later, and it's my choice.
I will never disagree with you that these kids should be getting whatever money gets made or some chunk of the money that's getting made for the amount of money that the NCAA is generating by putting this product out and making these deals. Like, I absolutely agree. They should get that money, yes. But they still, like, I'm just saying that I think pressing these changes is predicated on the idea that the consumers want something. It's not for the kids. No one in the NCAA is creating these rules for the students or for the student athletes. They're doing it for themselves and for the rest of us who are spending money on trash. That's why they're doing it, and that's the truth of the matter.
I disagree. Like, I think they're doing this for the athletes. They're doing it for freedom of movement, for money to go in their pockets. It's for them. I think maybe the product suffers a little bit, but it's actually for their individual benefit.
Well, but the other thing, I mean, with revenue share, there should be collectively bargained contracts. And it's, okay, if we're going to treat this as a professional sport, and yeah, hey, fine. They are making money for the schools. They're making money for the NCAA. They're making money for all these other entities. They should profit as well. But along the way, there needs to be a clearly defined set of rules and contracts. If your argument is, hey, you're at 18 years old, you can make an adult decision, then so be it. Then you can sign an adult contract.
Agreed.
And sign a contract that is for 4 years or for 5 years or for 3 years, whatever it is.
John, I wouldn't fight you on that. I think that's maybe the best way to kind of keep the guardrails in the game.
My issue is there's no leadership. There's no one that wants to stand up and be counted as taking a stand. It's all, well, we're going to lose in court, so it's whatever's best for the athlete. Well, okay, you want to do what's best for the athlete. You want to do what's best, but you're not doing anything that's best for the sport.
Let's get to Brian Baldinger next. We'll get to the picks end of the hour. We'll talk more about the Lions' potential opponents and who you want at 850. It's 97.1.
I do want to tell you what about football fans, because we've got something going on that's amazing. Right, started last night, the first time ever, we've got five straight nights of playoff football. Five straight days, whether it's college or the pros, FanDuel is celebrating with the great playoff payoff. There's a no sweat same game parlay every single day for all 5 days. You got four left with a no sweat SGP. You can combine your bets from the same game for a chance at an even bigger payday. And if your bet doesn't hit, you're going to get bonus bets back. So not only do you get to watch five straight days of playoff football, there's also five chances to win big. Four remain. Just visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to be part of this epic run. That's FanDuel.com/Jansen. It's the great playoff payoff, and it's only on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 or over and present Michigan. Opt-in required. Minimum three-leg parlay required as well. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Something about playoff football, baby. It's in the air, and it gets going this weekend. We're joined by Brian Baldinger. Good morning, Baldy.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're good. We're glad the playoffs are finally here. Certainly, we're glad that the Lions have the one seed. They're off this weekend, so let's start with everybody else. What is the number one storyline that you've got your eye on this weekend of playoff football?
I guess this the rookie quarterbacks. You know, Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix. I mean, we're always talking about quarterbacks as it is, and they've got their teams in the playoffs, and they both played really well throughout the season and started every single game. And so I'm kind of looking at these rookie quarterbacks, and can they kind of rock an upset? Both of them are on the road. Of course, Denver on the road in Buffalo, and then Bo Nix, you know, has to, you know, do his thing too. So, I mean, I think Jaden Daniels against Tampa is going to be a lot of fun. So that's kind of what I'm looking at right now, John.
Which one has the best chance to pull off the upset, or who do you think does pull off the upset?
Well, I think Jaden does. I mean, they this is a rematch from week one. I mean, it doesn't really matter, but I think what does matter in that game was how often and frequent Todd Bowles blitzed the rookie quarterback in his first NFL start and kind of how Jaden responded. I mean, he saw the field well. He made some plays. He made some throws in that game. I mean, they blitzed him right to the end. And he was still kind of handling things with the way he did all year, just with a lot of poise. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't a close game at that point, but I think Washington's gotten a lot better since that time.
We're curious if Minnesota is able to bounce back after a big emotional loss last week to the Lions. They've got the Rams. How do you think they show?
Well, was that just an aberration by Sam Darnold? Because it was plays that he had made all year long that he didn't make. And, you know, there was good play calls and good play designs, and he didn't execute them. And you wonder, was the moment too big? Is this what Sam really is? Or is that just an aberration? He goes back and playing the type of football that he played all year. I think that's the big question right now about Sam Darnold in Minnesota, because everything else was there. They intercepted Jared Goff twice. They had a lot of splash defensive plays, negative plays. They got great field position for the offense. They just couldn't, you know, punch the ball across the goal line at all or even close to it. And so they were held to three field goals. And that's the question. Can he go to SoFi Stadium and do what he had been doing most of the season?
The other question that I have is who do you think is the best matchup for the Lions in the divisional round? Who's the worst matchup? And obviously the opponents could be either the Vikings, the Rams, the Commanders, or the Packers. Who's the best matchup? Who's the one that concerns you the most for the Lions?
Well, I think what they just did to Minnesota should give them the most, you know, the best feeling of all the possible matchups how they just played. I mean, they just completely shut them down. And, you know, defensively, obviously, they're getting better. Anzalone got back in there, and it looked like Amik Robertson, you know, was a tough matchup for Justin Jefferson in that game. So I thought they matched up really well. And so if I was Detroit and I got to see Minnesota again at Detroit, I'd feel pretty good about my chances.
Talking to Brian Baldinger. He's our insider, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store. It's that extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Stick in the NFC. Eagles. Jalen Hurts has been in concussion protocol. I think the expectation is he'll play. How gettable are the Eagles for Green Bay?
Well, I mean, that's the question mark, really, is, you know, what is Jalen going to be like? I mean, I saw him week 16 when he got hurt against Washington and hasn't played or really practiced since. Limited practice on Wednesday. So, and Thursday, I mean, he's got to see what kind of time he has. I think he's going to start. I think he's going to play. But I think Philadelphia physically is just so much better than Green Bay. I mean, we saw it week one in Sao Paulo, Brazil, when Saquon had over 100 yards rushing. He had three touchdowns, probably could have scored a fourth touchdown. It's just that they kind of shut it down at the end of that game. But I thought Philadelphia's offensive line was superior to what Green Bay put up.
He's Brian Baldinger. We check in all season long, and we appreciate your time. Enjoy the playoffs.
Yeah, I plan on it. You too, guys. See
Thanks,
you now.
Baldy.
So one day after being given a weekly honor, Jahmyr Gibbs won a monthly award and was named a finalist for a yearly honor, which is pretty darn cool. On Wednesday, he was named NFC Offensive Player of the Week, and then he was named the NFC's Player of the Month for December and January, and he was nominated for the 2024 FedEx Air and Ground Players of the Year.
All right.
I think we had a feeling that when Montgomery went down, Gibbs could handle it. More than handled
it. Answered that question.
Yeah, great job.
Yep. If you haven't heard, the NFL has moved Monday night's wild card game between the Rams and the Vikings to Arizona.
I wonder if Baldy heard.
He said SoFi. I mean, the news is fast changing.
He might not have heard.
Yeah.
Now he knows. Now he knows. Yeah. Obviously, they're doing this because of the wildfires, and they say they're doing this in the interest of public safety. It's the best decision. You've all seen the photos, the videos. You've heard the news of what's going on there. It's devastating. So they'll now be playing at State Farm Stadium in Glendale. Speaking of the fires, as they just continue to rage across Los Angeles, celebrities and corporations are stepping up to help. Jamie Lee Curtis is now donating $1 million to the California wildfire relief efforts. Planet Fitness is stepping up. They're actually opening their doors to everyone in LA, providing access to showers, Wi-Fi, shelter, right?
Yeah, I mean, not the basics,
like things you need, first responders. If you just need come in and take a shower, you don't have anywhere to go, you can go to Planet Fitness. Wolfgang Puck is also handing out free food to all of the first responders from his restaurant, Spago, which is like a really, really nice restaurant. Mm-hmm. Several other restaurants are also doing the same as well.
You got to pitch in. You got to help one another.
And it's just so sad because even these celebrities, they're all affected too, right? Like they're losing their communities if they haven't lost their homes and everything that was inside that house. They're all impacted as well. A Florida woman was busted after she accidentally texted a cop instead of a drug dealer. Oh. She basically, you know, narked on herself. So this woman, of all places, was heading to rehab on New Year's Eve. But before she got there, she decided to text a man that she had stored in her phone as PJ, who she thought was a drug dealer. Offered him $45 for whatever she wanted, and they had planned to meet up. Well, when she met with him, she was shocked when she found a narcotics officer waiting for her. Turns out that PJ wasn't actually the drug dealer. He was an investigator with the local sheriff's office. And they had some sort of interaction in the past, and she saved him as PJ, which was close to the name of the drug dealer. Busted. So not only was she charged with that, she was also charged with unlawful use of a communications device and driving with a suspended license. Lots of charges going her way. This is pretty cool. A woman who was caught in a riptide in South Africa was saved by a fish hook in her jeans. So she got stuck out in the water, which can get very scary, very dangerous. No one was able to help her. Well, last Wednesday, this fisherman noticed her. He kind of walked out into the shallow water and repeatedly cast his line towards her. Well, eventually, a hook attached to her jeans.
Right.
And he just reeled her in.
It's amazing.
And it never pierced her skin, which is even more amazing.
Right.
That
yes.
somehow this, it's a larger hook I'm taking.
Oh, yeah,
this,
it's a treble
this,
hook,
like,
yeah.
I know nothing about that. This cod, whatever, he's a cod fisherman. And it didn't end up piercing her skin. Just got her jeans, reeled her in, walked her to shore. Totally fine.
It, amazing. First of all, what's she doing out there?
Well,
shark bait.
It does say, you know, I don't think she meant to get where
that
she
far
was.
Out, yeah.
It was because you're not recommended to swim in this area because there is high currents, and she was swimming and then she got caught up. I mean, probably not her plan to get caught by a riptide.
No. Amazing though that you're able to do that and just hook her enough to not injure her, but reel her in.
Unreal. Bloomfield
probably
Township.
A Hallmark movie somewhere.
Happily ever after.
Well, and probably hot too. Like he could rip his shirt off while he's out in the, you know, like hot frosty. He's got to be out there shirtless while he's rescuing this woman.
Flexing his muscles
distress.
As he's reeling her
the
in.
Sweat dripping down his body. Yeah. Okay,
and
anyway.
She's smoking hot too.
Sure.
And it does rip her clothes.
Whoa,
there we go.
A Bloomfield Township man was arrested after embezzling nearly $30,000 from Tropical Smoothie Cafe. He was arrested on Thursday after police say he embezzled all of this money, $30,000 worth of cash deposits from the restaurant on Telegraph over a 5-month period last year. So he did post bond, but he'll be in court again later this month.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, Heather makes picks, and we all just kind of
get annoyed.
Yeah. You going to have a bad week one of these weeks?
I don't think so. I'm unstoppable.
Why would you ask the question?
Come on now.
Nothing's worked. It's next 97.1. We got a poll question up. It's the easiest way to weigh in. We, of course, want your reasoning, and you can do that on ticket text and phone calls. The Lions don't play this weekend. But we're going to learn who they do play in their first playoff game. And it could be one of four teams. Could be the Rams. Could be the Packers. Could be the Commanders. Or could be the Minnesota Vikings. Who do you most want to see? Who do you least want to see? 248-539-9797. You can vote in that poll question on... It may be. You can vote on X, Costa, and Jansen. We'll update those results as the show goes. And I believe the Commanders are currently winning that poll. John, who do you most want to see?
I most want to see in the first round the Commanders for a number of different reasons. One, I'd like them to win their first playoff game. I'd like to see, you know, Jaden Daniels have a little bit of success, kind of like we saw C.J. Stroud on the other side in the AFC last year. And then there's something special. I still carry a grudge about the way I was released in Washington.
Still,
yeah, obviously. And so I would love for them to knock out the Commanders in that first round. And not that it's the easiest one. It's not the hardest one. I think it would be the most unique one. Because I think in the years to come, Washington is going to be a force to be reckoned with. Now you get a chance to get them with a young quarterback, knock them out, let them know who the boss is. And then in the second week, I want to face the Eagles. Maybe it's the division. Maybe it's just the old me coming out a little bit. But it's if they are proclaimed to be the next best, the best opponent that you can beat in the NFC Championship game to go to the Super Bowl, then give me the best one at that point. And then it's, you know, if we're going all the way to the Super Bowl, I want to beat the Chiefs. So there's my three.
You want the Commanders the most.
Yeah, I want the Commanders, the Eagles, and then the Chiefs.
Who do you least want to face next week?
Only because of the topics. I don't want to play the Rams. I don't want to do Goff, Stafford. I don't want to talk about Matthew's wife. I just want to talk about football. And all of these other ancillary topics come in if you are playing the Rams. I would much rather play any other team other than the Rams. And I get it. It's Puka Nacua. And that wide receiving core is really good. Matthew Stafford is still good. Sean McVay has a has a Super Bowl ring. None of that plays. I'm not afraid of any of them. I just don't want to do that radio.
55% of the audience wants the Commander. Says, bring on a rookie quarterback.
Let's go.
Something new. They've played all the other teams, beat all the other teams.
That's part of it as well. Like, okay, when you talk about the teams that they could play, it's the Vikings, the Rams, the Commanders, the Packers. Vikings, been there, done that twice. Packers, been there, done that twice. Rams, been there, done that. Did that last year in the playoffs. Did it at the beginning of this year. So been there, done that twice. Commanders, haven't seen them in a while.
If the Lions lose a playoff game, it's going to be because the defense can't get a key stop.
Most likely.
So I don't want to play dangerous quarterbacks. I don't want to play the Rams because if you have to blitz, veteran quarterbacks are going to dice it up. They've got the weapons. They nearly beat the Lions in a playoff game last year, and if not for a coin flip, they may have won the game to kick off this season. Look, I think the Lions will beat the Rams, but of the group, they're the team I least want to play. And all the nauseating stuff. Like, I used to really get into, hey, it's the narrative and the storyline and Stafford in return. We've done it. We've done it twice now. I'm done. It's nauseating. I don't need any of it. The team I most want the Lions to play, Green Bay Packers. Two birds, one stone. Literally. It knocks out the Eagles. And it gives you the most favorable matchup. Jordan Love, I think you can heat him up. I do. I think you can make him a mistake-prone quarterback. And John, you talked about the emotion of, you know, the Commanders for you. The team I want to inflict the most pain on of anybody is the Green Bay Packers. They have dished it out to us. I would like to give it back to them. Beat them three times in one season. Don't like the Cheeseheads, right? I know some people don't like the Vikings and don't like the Bears. To me, the Packers are the most frustrating team in this division. They've dealt us so much heartbreak. Let's return the favor this year in the postseason. So to me, bring on the Packers. That's who I want most.
I get it. You know, it's the division opponent. You want to keep, you know, kicking a dead horse. That's fine. And Jordan Love, I mean, we talked about in the picks. I think Jordan Love is that type of quarterback that always just does enough to make the fan base believe in him. Oh, next year is going to be better. Did you see how he ended the season? Or the rest of the NFL fan bases that think Green Bay can't possibly be down. They can't possibly have that next quarterback. And the narrative going into the offseason is going to be, oh, just wait till next year. Okay, well, yeah, let's wait till next year and we'll kick your ass again.
So the Commanders have 55% of the vote. Packers 36%. 4% for the Vikings, 4% for the Rams. Makes sense. You want the 6th and the 7th seed.
Yeah. I get it. If you're looking for the easiest path, I'm not necessarily looking for the easiest path. I'm just looking to settle some scores.
Yeah, it's not about the easy. I think they'll beat all four of these teams.
And maybe if it is about settling scores, we've settled the scores with all those other teams
besides the Commanders.
Yeah,
but I don't have the animosity that you do. And I know some Lions
fans.
We
haven't played them.
Some Lions fans remember 91, right? NFC Championship game. They get eliminated by the then Redskins. And another time in the 90s, Washington eliminated Barry Sanders. And
you're welcome.
You just had to bring that up.
But you brought it up.
Well, you just had to revel in it, though.
Sure. Why not?
But I don't have the same animosity towards that franchise as I do towards Green Bay.
Oh, nobody's going to have the same animosity towards them or the Eagles.
Yeah.
Even though there have been some hard losses to the Eagles in the past decade. Some of it is just something new. I just want something new. I want to see Jaden Daniels in person. All right, I want to see that defense in person. They can't stop the run.
So your path was Commanders, Eagles, Chiefs.
Yes. That's the Eagles and Chefs, to be accurate.
Of course. I would give you the Packers first round. I'd rather not face Stafford in the second round. Or Baker in the second round. Give me Sam Darnold in the second round.
Oh, Vikings, Lions Packers. For the NFC supreme dominance.
They could finish 8-0 in the best division in football, beat both of them 3 times.
I like where your head's at.
And then you go to the Super Bowl, and of that group, it's so tough.
It is the best division in football, so it would stem to reason that you would face both division opponents on your path.
And then in the Super Bowl, I guess it is the Chiefs. I know I never want to say bring on Mahomes, but I think it is the Chiefs. Just because if it's a lower scoring game, it's more chances, obviously, for their offense to score late, but the Lions have the best offense. And we haven't seen a team three-peat ever, so maybe this is what keeps them from three-peating. The Lions get it done in the Super Bowl. Texter says, who do I want to see? It doesn't matter. Bring on anyone. Who am I afraid of? No one. Bring on anyone. Who wants to come here and try us? They'll find out. It's a fun answer, but it doesn't answer the question. Texter says, let's not forget the Commanders kept us from going to the Super Bowl in the 90s. I want that revenge factor. That's E in Detroit.
Okay.
Doesn't matter, guys. I'll be boogieing in my club seats no matter who it is. Jack and Coke Jerry. You don't want Washington, John. A young mobile quarterback, he'll chew up Glenn's defensive schemes and spit them out.
Okay. I disagree.
If he wins his first playoff game on the road against a Bulls team that's going to blitz, it would give me pause with him coming in here, right?
Sure. Do you think a rookie quarterback can continue to play at that level and dissect defenses at that level in as a rookie? I just don't believe it.
Who are the most... in terms of the dangerous quarterbacks in the NFC playoffs, he's certainly not at the bottom.
No. Well, all right.
Like, it's Darnold and Love are probably the least dangerous quarterbacks.
Right, yet we still say it's the best division in football.
Well, there are good teams around them, right? I mean, isn't that the point, is that Darnold has
a defense,
good protection, a defense that gets in the ball back, ton of turnovers. He's got Jefferson, he's got Addison, Hockenson's healthy, and Kevin O'Connell calls a great game. I think he's maybe the most gettable because he holds the football, and we saw that in Ford Field last week.
Jordan Love is the one that will give you the football the most?
Yeah, sure. Here you go. You take it. Go ahead, short field, turnover touchdowns. Perfect. You guys let us know. I think it's a fun conversation with the Lions sitting on the couch this week. You're going to be watching these teams. Who do you want to play most and who do you least want to play? It's 97.1.